90 Day Wins podcast. This is your host, Sandy B. And on this episode, episode 115, I am talking to the creator of PodFest and also the author of one of my favorite books, Chris Komitsos. The name of his book is Start Ugly, a timeless tale about innovation and change. This episode, we're talking with Chris about starting ugly and finishing strong, a journey to personal and business transformation. You don't want to miss this episode. 90 Day Wins podcast. Let's start now, goal getters. Hello, welcome to another episode of the 90 Day Wins podcast. And I'm excited because I get to interview someone who I just really admire what they do. And his book, Start Ugly, is one of my favorites. So welcome to the show, Chris Komitsos. How are you doing today?
I'm excited to be here, Sandy. And this is a great podcast. So I'm honored to be on 90 Day Wins. So thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming. So I received your book when you came on the podcast tour in 2022 here to Atlanta. And I find so many gems in it as I talk to different people in my coaching. So I just want to dive right in with you. But before we do, tell us a little about you and the work that you do.
So just a backstory, I'm known as the founder of PodFest professionally. It's one of the largest conferences for independent creators, podcasters specifically, but we have authors and speakers and really amazing influencers, YouTubers that come to PodFest. So that's how people know me. But really, if you were to look at my life, I spend a lot of time with my two girls, Sedona and Savannah. They're 8 and 5 at this time. Love my wife. And then I'll have side projects, and Start Ugly was one of those passion projects. And if you look at, I remember once my wife was like, what do you do? And it's very tough to pin me down if you know all the different things I've done in the past. At the core of it, it's helping create a facilitated environment for people to really accelerate what they're good at. So, and helping take away anything that's holding them back. So not necessarily as a consultant, but as someone that's building communities, it's infused in the DNA of what I do. So it's very tricky to see it because if you're immersed in a community, you don't really realize it, but you feel it. And that's the best thing I could say. If anyone's part of anything that I've done or part of any of the projects, they kind of feel it more than they see it. I'm not the person to tell you how to live your life, how to do things, but I am the person to suggest through allegory or story or through an environment, here are the best practices we've seen works, figure out what works for you.
I love that. And as you were talking to me, you are a community builder. Right. I see all the different communities that you're a part of that you share and you actually give shout outs to in your book, but then also the community of PodFest that I am a part of. And I just love PodFest. I could go on for hours telling you why I love it and just the people that you have been able to bring together in such an amazing way. And congratulations on 10 years. I cannot tell you how awesome that is to be a part of something that you've built these 10 years. It's just amazing.
It's been an amazing run. And I'm just grateful for the community that we have.
Yes.
In 10 years, we built some long-term amazing relationships. You mentioned that, you know, you and I met at the Atlanta tour stop. When yes. we go around the country now, PodFest is growing tentacles all over the world, really. Pretty soon we'll be going outside of country. So it's just cool to go to different cities and make new friends and just build those relationships. To me, that's probably what I love the most is like I could go to a different city and have a friend that says to me, hey, please don't stay at a hotel. Come stay at my house. I mean, that happens a lot for me. And I think that's a mark of life lived well, that you have family and friends anywhere you go.
Totally. And I just think your wife is divine. So you are great, but she is the cherry on top, Chris.
I would agree with that. She's amazing.
Awesome. So let's talk about Start Ugly. And one of the things I want to talk to you talk about, we lose precious time thinking. And that's one of the things I find I say often with 90 Day Wins, let's actually take action and stop talking about what we want to do. So can you tell me a little bit about losing time by thinking?
Yeah, what we don't. So this is where, for me, how I see that. So I'll explain to you how I see this.
Okay.
So yes, PodFest is once a year, but I do a local meetup in Tampa for our local podcasters.
Yeah.
And the reason why that's important is I have a lot of touch points. So I see people over many times over the course of, you know, a decade, let's just say.
Okay.
And I have seen in that time people that show up to my meeting that are thinking about an idea and they don't realize time's passing, but I realize it because I'm at the front of the room seeing all the people and the experiments play out. Mm-hmm. And I'll give you two examples that really make sense. I've seen someone thinking about a podcast for 3 years. Okay. And I've seen someone start a podcast that they didn't even know they wanted to do. Then it wasn't the right thing. Then start another mm-hmm. podcast. And maybe that wasn't what they wanted to do, but it got closer. And then on the third time, they hit the nail on the head, so to speak, and they got exactly what they were looking for. And I've seen that process play out in a year or two, and they're already further than the person still thinking 3 years later. And when you're seeing the two people sit next to each other as a leader, month in, month out, you realize like, oh my God, the person that, I'm not saying like have no idea, but in an extreme case, the person that even didn't know what they wanted to do, but just got started and then stopped and then pivoted. And then maybe that what got them a little closer, but it wasn't yet. Then on the third time they hit it out of the park. They still accelerate, their success accelerates much faster than the person 3 years later. So the person that found what they were looking for found it within, let's say, 2 years.
Yeah.
The other person still has an extra year of thinking. So they've just lost 3 years of time.
Yeah.
So they were better off just doing and then figuring out as they go, then the thinking robbed them of the most precious commodity. Because last time I checked, you know, we're made out of organic matter. And, you know, we transition in different forms. But in this form, there is definitely a timeline that's that is always clicking off. So that's kind of how I could tell you, you cannot waste time taking action. Now, I'm not big on taking the wrong action, but I think the theory here is, even if you're not sure, just taking the action towards what you're looking to do, as long as you put some guardrails in, and we put that in the book, which is some minimal guardrails, is better than thinking for too long.
I totally agree. I've seen it. There's so many people that tell me, wow, you've been podcasting for some time now. And, you know, I want to learn from you and I want to do all these things. And so one of the things I say, you have to get with a community, right? Just being around other people that are doing what you desire to do, you learn so much. And that's one of the reasons why I enjoy PodFest. And I love that it's in the beginning of the year. So I feel like it just helps move me closer and just kind of, I get momentum, right? And so just everyone wants to engage and learn about what you have going on. And there is not one person that I've talked to that hasn't said, what can I help you with? What do you need help with? And so that community is so important.
I would agree with you because getting started on something is a very lonely endeavor.
Yeah.
I was in, so I go to a lot of, pet stores for fun. Like I like looking at pets. I used to work at a pet store as a kid and I love seeing the transition of them and all that. But, recently I went to a pet store and the gentleman was selling his pets on a marketplace online. That was very, it's very good because they put a lot of guardrails to protect the consumer and all these things.
Okay.
Anyways, this individual, he always kept to himself. And one thing I found odd is he wouldn't always be open when he said he'd be open because he was making so much money online. He just didn't follow his store hours.
Okay.
And sometimes he'd be a little bit, not necessarily say rude, but it's like, hey, I don't have time for you today. So he was making money online.
Yeah.
Well, he something happened, and because he was doing so well online, a couple of people in that community ganged up on him. And they, just like we hear with like YouTube or whatever, in this forum, they gave him strikes. Oh. It was a misunderstanding. But this gentleman never bothered to spend time with his peers, to be in the community of that group. So since no one knew him, there's no mechanism to get him back in. Yeah. And I know that sounds so crazy and so extreme. But here I am at the pet store and he's begging me for help. I'm like, dude, I'm just a guy in your pet store. I just mentioned the website. He's like, do you know anybody? Can you help me? And I said, don't you go to the events where all these, they all hang out and talk to each other? He goes, I never bothered to. He goes, I've always been a loner. I'm not saying you shouldn't be like a loner. Like if you're an introvert, all I'm saying is if you're part of a community, you should tap into it in some way, shape or form. So people know that you're in the community. We're a communal being. So that's just an extreme case where like, I was like, this happened just recently and he's begging me for help. And I'm like, well, don't you know people? He goes, I never bothered to go to one meetup or meet any of my peers. And he lives in an area where they're all around him, you know?
Okay.
So just to your point, being part of a community for some people might seem like a waste of time, but if you ask me, it's probably one of the most, powerful and fruitful things you could do in whatever community you're part of is checking in. You don't even have to be the most active part. Checking in and being in the community sometimes makes the difference.
I totally agree. I just, based on my own experience, the people that I have been exposed to and just learning so many things, you know, and that's what I like because with podcasters, we come from all walks of life, right?
It's one of the most diverse groups you're ever going to see. I always say that. I said that like people are like, what is a podcaster? It's like, it could be anybody.
Yes. And that's what I like about it, right? Because I'm meeting, you know, Glenn, you know, I'm just meeting some unique people that do some amazing things. And it's like, wow, I would have never thought that, you know? So I love the opportunity to just meet so many different people and learn.
You talk about Glenn the Geek?
Yes.
Yeah, Hearth Radio Network, in case anyone's wondering. So he literally is the voice of the people with horses. So it's like this unique niche. I'm talking about globally, like anyone with a horse pretty much knows who Glenn the Geek is.
And I love it too, because he's so tall and he wears an awesome cowboy hat. So just good people.
Turn it on.
Yes. So another thought in the book that I'd like to talk to you about is beliefs and how they can imprison us. And you said making us blind to opportunities when it comes our way. So tell me a little bit about that belief imprisoning us.
So the case study in the book is about a successful business person. And the reason why I chose that is most successful business people don't realize that they're also in prison, just like someone trying to find their way. It's like the same thing. And what I mean by that is, and we hear about this often, you and I have a mutual friend, PJ Papadenuzzo.
Yes.
And he'll say something. I remember he said something that resonated. You and I were on a call with him and he said, health and wealth, although a lot of people think they're hard, they're easy. Happiness is a whole nother ball game. That's where most people have the biggest challenge is finding happiness. So if you're a successful business person, you might not even realize you've been imprisoned by that success, because you'll see this often. Sometimes the most successful people, maybe they want to do something that doesn't correlate with their exponential growth, let's just say.
Okay.
That belief system now is imprisoning them for trying something new. And that to me is a travesty, because if you look at people like Elon, he's always trying something different, new. And whether it's controversial or not, if you look at his DNA as a person, he's a child still seeing the world through a child's eyes, looking to play with new toys. You know, that's a rarity. That's a rarity. What usually happens for someone of that prototype is they make a bunch of money and then they go into investment. And that's almost like it's almost like a predetermined track. What if someone doesn't want to do that? You know, what if you have this voice in the back of your head that you should sail around the world and not worry about money after you've made money? So that that's just our beliefs in general. That's just an extreme example. But if you have a belief system that says, who are you to start a podcast, or who are you to educate people about XYZ, that belief system, that who are you, those three words are imprisoning you from being that person. So we have to really be careful of the belief systems. And I'm big on visualization. Yeah. So anytime I've ever built anything great, I have this place in Tampa, it's called Davis Islands. I walk around the water and I visualize what it is I want to build. Mm-hmm. And I talk it out. When I see it, then I believe it and I could feel it. And then when I feel it, I just have to have the faith to pursue it and allow it to happen. So that's kind of part of rewiring your brain and your belief systems, I think, are extremely important. But you also have to recognize, where are these beliefs coming from? That might be a little tougher sometimes, because we don't realize they've been planted when we were children. With my two little girls, I'm doing my best to let them know that they're both little miracles, and that they have, I tell them that they have superpowers. They have to put hard work behind them, but in those superpowers, they could imagine and achieve anything they want. But I've made it a really powerful thing to give them origin stories that they could draw upon later on in life to know there's a reason and why they have that power to accomplish what they want. So part of us as adults is figuring out, where did those thoughts, when did they take root? If we can't necessarily pinpoint them, what can we implant differently to help us overcome the limiting belief systems we have?
I love that. I have a daughter, and it's very important for me to do the same too. She's excited about her journey. She's about to, I know the school, but I'm not allowed to share until she shares. But she's finally made that decision after receiving so many acceptance letters. And I feel as if I have given her the tools, my husband and I have given her the tools. But like you said, it's important to embed those seeds of imagination and their God-given abilities, but the work behind it too, right? And so they understand that you can achieve these things, but it does require for you to know and believe who you are and what amazing family you have that's here to support you. And I was thinking, I was doing the yearbook posts and I started crying because I'm seeing my baby. And I thought that, okay, I know how I feel about her and how amazing she is, but now it's time for me to allow her to go out into the world and be this person that we have helped to shape and mold. So I think it's so important that we impart those jewels into our children.
Yeah. And I think, like any conscious parent, you don't ever know, you know, like you said, once they're out in the world, it's up to them to live it, right?
Yes.
So you just try and do your best, and you're always second. I mean, if you're really conscious, you're always second guessing, is this the right thing? But you do what you can, and then it's up to them to flourish, and you got to let them make their own mistakes, which is even tougher sometimes.
Definitely
to watch. But yeah, the belief system is the most important part, I think, of manifesting what it is you want. Mm-hmm. And with the book Start Ugly, I started with a successful business person because I was in a group of very successful individuals, financially successful. And I remember just saying to them, hey, one of my goals is I'd love to fly private jet, you know, just whenever I need to, because of the time that saves and just the convenience, right?
Yeah.
And I remember they laughed like, oh, that'll be the day. And I'm like, I'm with some of the most successful people that I know here, like very successful. And they're still poo-pooing something like that. Mm-hmm. And I realized they wouldn't mean nothing by it. It just, you got to be careful of your belief systems, because even though that's a joke, that you would almost need to frame like, oh no, that's great. Excited for when that happens.
Yes.
You got to really be careful of these little thoughts, because they actually have a lot of meaning behind them.
Definitely. So tell me and tell the listeners why Start Ugly is a book they need to read. Why would you encourage them to read Start Ugly?
So there's three reasons why you would pick up this book. Mm-hmm. One is if you're looking to try something new. First off, let me just explain what the book is so people don't get surprised.
Yeah.
It's a 30-minute short read. So big text, a lot of visuals.
Yes.
But I didn't waste a word. I don't know if that makes sense. Yeah. In the front of it is a post-it note, Start Ugly. So yes. The cover itself actually was designed. So if you never, I had to figure out, like, if someone never picked up my book, would it have an impact? If you had that cover in your back bookshelf looking back at you, it's haunting you when you're procrastinating. It's like telling you Start Ugly.
I love it. So
the short story was designed for two things. One, to help you change your internal belief systems around starting something. And two, to take the guilt away if you started something and it didn't work out. So it's about you saving time, getting started, taking action, and figuring out, is this something I want to do? Is it something I don't want to do? Is it something that should be a hobby I should be doing? To give you a roadmap. And one of the funny parts, people always ask me, because they think it's a how-to book. It kind of is, but it isn't. It's more of a philosophy book on the way of life.
Yeah.
The only how-to on the book, I believe, is page 79. And it's where we actually put a roadmap of what, you know, starting ugly looks like. And it basically is an innovation cycle. And it's step one, identify a new way of doing something. Mm-hmm. Step two, research what you're getting into and set a time limit. So that's the time limit.
Yeah.
Step three, create a minimal viable thing, whatever that is. So I don't care if you're designing a product, service, or it could be something simple as, like, you know, I want to start walking the dog every morning at such and such time. It could be something similar. Step four, commit to a launch date, make it real, make it public by telling people. And then step five is start ugly and launch. The reason I use the word start ugly, Sandy, is because I've done a lot of events. One time back in the day, I used to be a really big video, like vlogger. Like, I was well known in the Tampa Bay area for, I would put up a video a day almost. And I remember someone said, what kind of camera are you using? And I was like, it's not the camera. Like, it doesn't matter what camera I'm using.
Yes.
And I remember just saying, I wanted to say a bad word. And I publicly don't really usually use curse language.
Yes.
So I just said, start ugly, out of frustration. And I felt bad the way I said it too. And someone said, can you tell me that again? I go, what? I go, what did you just say? I said, start ugly. They go, yeah, I like that. And then I realize it resonates with people. The two words resonate. And I would try it over and over. So people like, okay, start ugly. I got that. It doesn't have to be perfect. And launch.
Yes.
Now, step six is probably the most important thing after launch. It says set check-in dates to assess. A is if you determine you don't like what you started, stop. That's actually the biggest thing people don't realize. Like, you don't have to keep doing something you don't like, but now you know you don't like it, so you don't have to waste any time thinking about it. And it says here, congrats. You don't have to think about it anymore. Part B of that is if you love what you're doing, decide what your endeavor will become. So I'll give you an example. In here I say new business, new division, side hustle, hobby. Set your milestones accordingly. A lot of times I see people starting podcasts and they're competing with some imaginary person that they create in their head and they want to make $1 million off the podcast. And I'll ask them, do you enjoy your podcast? And they'll say, yes. I go, would you do it? Because let's say you have a full-time gig. Would you do it as a side hustle, even though you're working full-time? They're like, absolutely. I love it. I go, then stop comparing it to someone that started 10 years ago or whatever. Do it as a side hustle or as a hobby that you love and put in that category. So that way you don't make yourself wrong.
Yes.
And that's really powerful. And then step seven, create systems and work. Now we create systems and work towards perfect execution. So I always say, it's not start ugly, stay ugly. It's start ugly and perfectly execute along the way and improve 1% at a time. So it's a very powerful book. A lot of friends of mine who are speakers, consultants, podcasts actually buy my book as gifts to people they're either working with or family and friends that might be stuck and need to get unstuck. So it's been very, very powerful for me. I actually, I look at this book quite often, so it actually helps me because I have it always looking back at me on my desk when I look at it. So it helps me not procrastinate.
I totally agree. I have used it and thought about it because procrastination is one of the things, main things I talk about with 90 Day Wins. And like you said, create that date. So in 90 days, how am I doing? We're always looking to see.
I love 90 days.
So many people tell me that because it's long enough that you can stop, Chris, right?
That's right.
If you start something and it's not going the way you decided it should. But I like the in step 6B, if you love what you're doing, decide what your endeavor will become. Because I've experienced that. I knew very clearly I have a trusted advisor who's been podcasting for some years, who literally walked through these steps with me and literally said to me, okay, so when are you starting? What do you want to talk about? I had this ridiculous name that I would not share publicly, but we have a great laugh about it. I'll have to tell you. But just knowing that once I started doing it, I loved it. And obviously, I had to learn some things. I'm an accountant, right? So I aligned with people, someone who literally said, I will show you. My first season, I had someone who was kind enough to edit it for me. You know, wow. That's a big thing, right?
That's huge.
And so after that, she said, you can do this. I know you can do this. She sat down with me, gave me some shortcuts in GarageBand. And now I'm just like, I know what to do. I know how to do this. So like you said, just continue. And then you create the systems, right? And you work towards perfect execution. And that's one of the things to bring it back to PodFest that I like, because you know, there's so much information. A lot of people are like, oh, it's information overload. But I tell people, decide what you want to learn. Remember, there's another year where you can go into that other track, right? And so that's what I do. I love that I can go into the WOVA app and decide, okay, this year, I'm going to focus on this. I'm going to make sure I go to all these events. And in my opinion, VIP is the way to go, Chris, because you just get to exposed to so many other things and you meet people and you just have the opportunity to really hone in on this thing you have started, and just to be excited by the energy of other people doing what you're doing. So I love this. Page 79 is definitely a good roadmap for you to start and continue to grow and to continue to learn.
Yeah. And the thing I want to be clear, and this is something that I'm noticing a lot of people, I think COVID woke up a lot of people because they had time to think about like their life.
Yes.
Your career doesn't have to be linear.
Mm.
And I think a lot of us think everything is linear. In other words, like you said, you're an accountant. Okay. I'm an accountant. I got to grow my practice. And do I sell my practice? Then I go. So like, you could be an accountant and have a podcast, and maybe, you know, so you could do other things alongside that, whatever it is that you're doing.
Definitely.
And, zigzag while you're doing the thing that is, you know, your profession. So just, and I think a lot more people are doing that, you know, it's, they're making different choices. Just because, like, for instance, I come from a Greek family.
Yes.
You know, immigrants put a lot of pressure on their kids. In general, a lot of success pressure.
That's a fact.
That's just a fact. Right. So it's like, and it's not uncommon for, Greek families, Indian families, like a lot of the different nationalities.
Yes.
If you ask the parents what they want the kids to be, it's like two things, doctor, lawyer, or some kind of financial, you know, person, right? Cause that's where the money is and the status.
Yeah.
I intentionally created a life that I wanted to live. It was much harder to figure out how to create a community around my values where we all get together and help each other up the ladder of success, but it's much more rewarding. Don't think that you have to do something because, that's what you were told to do.
Yes.
Think through what you want to do. So with the Start Ugly process, while you're doing whatever that is, you could start ugly on these side gigs to help you find what it is your calling is. I think all too often we don't try enough. Like, how do you know you like something unless you try? So the more trial runs we have, the better we find out, you know, what do we, obviously I like events, right? Like I'm drawn to bringing people together for events. I would not recommend that for most people to do events for a living. It is extremely
it's tough.
It's risky. It's at times it's thankless, you know, but that's what I love to do. And I had a lot of trial runs on different things and I'm always drawn to it. So I have to ask myself, why are you always drawn to events? There's a payoff that I get. That is very rewarding for me. But I've had a lot of start uglies to figure that out.
Hey, goal-getters. It's Sandy B, your guide on this journey to turning big dreams into impressive realities. With 90 Day Wins Coaching, we're all about making every moment count. Imagine in just 90 days, you'll conquer procrastination, nail down those elusive goals, and truly hold yourself accountable. This is for anyone looking to level up their life, career, or personal development. I'm here to push you, support you, and celebrate with you every step of the way. Your next big win starts now. No more waiting for the perfect moment. It's here. Join me at 90daywins.com and let's achieve those goals together. Yes, I love that because so over 25 years now in corporate accounting, but I had this pull. I desired more. I would go to different events, MBA events, all these different things. And I'm asking a question, Chris, and the moderator stops and I could listen to you all day. I love your voice. And then I have a friend in the audience text me, you need to use your voice. I told you this. And so I'm thinking, well, what does that look like? You know, what does that mean? Use your voice. And I'm embarrassed because everyone's looking at me and they're like, yeah, yeah. And I'm like, okay, I just wanted to ask my questions there. But I knew there was something there. And so coming on to be a podcaster and then also going to get training for coaching and decided that, you know, this is where I'd like to be. This is what I feel I'm being drawn to. And I think once you decide that you're ready to try, the universe allows for you to have doors that you didn't even know would open for you.
Sandy, can I ask you something? Because I'm just curious.
Sure.
In that example you gave, obviously people saw something that was right in front of your face. And sometimes it's tough for us to see it, right? And I've been there too. It's like they see it, but you're kind of like, what are you talking about?
Yes.
So then when you started, I'm assuming, because I know you've been very successful with your podcast and I've seen other people get started, but I have a feeling there's like an alignment that you had that allowed for that to really open up your success. Because you've succeeded fairly quickly where, like I said, I've seen people, maybe just what the synchronicity wasn't there, but something happened for you that just really opened up quickly.
So I was a part of a mastermind group. And I was talking with the ladies and the person that had it, she was doing these sessions on Think and Grow Rich. And I love Think and Grow Rich. And so she invited me to come on her talk show at the time, talking about one of the chapters. And as I did that, and I was from that, other people sought me out and wanted to know about my 90-day win process. And so I was being on all these different podcasts, and that was a great way for me to kind of get the flavor of what it was and the feedback from all these podcasts. It's like, oh, I would like to listen to her more. You know, she gave some good thoughts about it. And I'm like, okay, there's something here. I have to take advantage of this. There's something here. I don't know anything, but I'm willing to learn. And that's the thing. I'm always open to learning new things. And then being in Atlanta, there are all these different events. And so once I plugged in and said, okay, I like this podcast. And it just so happened that this podcast, the hosts of the podcast were going to be at this event. So it just aligned beautifully. And I went and then, you know, you ask if anyone has a question, I'm going to raise my hand. And so it just kind of led me down this path. And when people that are doing what you do tell you that they believe in you and you can do this, it's just like, why would I not take that chance and bet on me? And so that's why I encourage people that I coach, that I speak with. It's like, just just bet on you. What do you have to lose? And it's interesting because being in corporate and doing some consulting with these big companies, I'm talking to different people, and sometimes I won't share that I have a podcast, but they'll see something, or I'll say, well, yeah, I can't do that because I have an episode I need to record. And it's like, what are you doing? And then I put it out on LinkedIn. And so last year sometime, I was in this big meeting, and the VP says, you guys need to check out Sandra. She has all this amazing stuff going on. And so I'm like, oh, just put me out there like that, right? And everyone wants to talk about 90 Day Wins. How'd you get started? And so it's just a great way for me to use my voice and to share. You know, we talk about this all the time in the podcast world, to share what you are thinking about and what you believe it's important. And so for me, if one person can take action based on an episode they heard, I'm winning. You know, I really believe that's a win, because you get out of that thinking and you start doing, and then you start ugly, and then you can make the changes you need. So that's why I'm telling you, I really love this book for so many reasons. And I believe that it is a great way to have your mind change to what you can do. And
yeah. No, the point you hit there that resonates with me is, mm-hmm. and this is something that I've been thinking about a lot, is I don't think people, and I'll speak for myself, mm-hmm. I don't think we invest enough in ourselves. Mm-hmm. And I'll explain what I mean by that. We live in a financial world, meaning we need to make sure we have our bills covered. We need to make sure we have money for the kids to go to school. We make sure that, da da da. But there should be like a line item for ourselves that's like, this is money for us to invest in ourselves. Yes. And it could be like you said, I'm going to go to that training. I'm going to go to this thing. And what I often see a lot of times, like, oh, look at that sucker. They just paid $5,000 for that training. I'm thinking like, if they got what they needed, isn't that money well invested?
Yes.
And what if that investment, they did it, and like we just said, it wasn't the right fit, but it led them to the person that was the right fit. That person is on a journey looking for what they're looking for. That's more powerful, that journey of investing in yourself. And sometimes if you don't have the money, it's the time. Invest the time to go to. There's a lot of events around all these big metropolitan cities and even out in the country. You go on Meetup or different things, or even Facebook events or Eventbrite. There's a lot of different events that you could go check out.
Yes.
And all too often, I see people not investing in themselves. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a time to invest in the training, but then there's also a time to invest in themselves.
Yes.
That's like when you invested in your podcast. That's you investing in yourself. That's after you've done some training, and you still do the training community. We talked about that. Mm-hmm. But I remember a while back, my wife had a beautiful podcast for businesswomen early on in the infancy of podcasting. And I remember she transitioned to, Katie now does the Women's Meditation Network. It's like the largest in the world. It's amazing. But at the time I said to Katie, I said, you've spent 5 years on this business podcast. We should bless someone with this podcast. And you'll appreciate this, Sandy. She goes, well, what is it worth? I go, we know it's worth like 50 to 100,000, but we know no one will pay that. So let's just create a fee that's like what I would call a respect fee. Mm-hmm. And the respect fee was like $10,000. So we're going to give this, and this podcast generated like 6 figures at the time in consulting. And I remember like people were like, maybe there was a disconnect, but they were like, I don't know if I would. And then next thing you see, they would pay $10,000 in training. It's like, no, we just gave you the thing that you need is right here. So sometimes what I realized in that moment, forget about making the person right or wrong, because who knows if it was the right journey for them. But a lot of people were afraid of investing directly in themselves. Like, here is something that could generate quite a bit of money for you, all set up.
Yeah.
But they would then just be afraid to do that. And I find that a lot. People are afraid to invest in themselves. And it could be something as simple as like, hey, buy that microphone. And you and I know the microphones are very affordable. They could be less than $100, and they could go up to $300-$400. But they're not like, if you have a Sony PlayStation in your house, you could afford a mic, you know?
Totally.
Like, but I see a lot of people like, oh, I don't know if I want to buy that. I don't have the money. And again, that's a belief system. Mm-hmm. It's not that they don't have the money, in my belief, right? Yeah. And I know someone's thinking like, oh, there's this person. Maybe someone doesn't have, like, literally, but the majority of people, especially in the U.S., they have the money for a $30 to $100 mic.
Yeah.
It's that they're afraid. And that fear manifests in creating an excuse that you don't have the money.
Yeah.
Because all you have to do is plug that sucker into, you know, your laptop, which everybody has one for work.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then if you don't, you know, Riverside, there's all these, you know, Squadcasts, Zoom even. So, I think what makes you unique in your circumstance is that once you got the message and it was received, mm-hmm. you invested in yourself by going out to meetings.
Yes.
Getting the microphone and the equipment and then, getting started. And now you're investing in others by your 90-day win. So now you're paying it forward, which I think at the core of most humans, I would say just about everybody, we want to help others. It's built into our DNA because we're all tied to each other. Whether we realize it or not, you know, we are a big ant colony. So it's pretty amazing what you've done. And for me, I wrote down on my, because I always take notes, invest in ourselves. So for me, it'll be like, okay, what am I not investing in? What am I afraid of? Basically is what I'm going to ask myself. Well, why am I not doing that? Because we all have it. It's we're afraid of doing something. For what reason? We're afraid of what people will say. We're afraid of being successful.
Yes.
We're afraid of being judged. Mm-hmm. And once we get to the bottom of that, we can move past that fear, walk through it. It's still hurt. It's still, you're still afraid. And someone will still judge you, and that's okay. That's on them. That's not on you.
Yes.
But you need to walk through the fire into your true purpose and invest in yourself. So I appreciate you solidifying that thought in my head.
Well, I am grateful that you found that helpful. So how can we get the book?
Amazon.com, Start Ugly. Yes. There is actually another philosophy book called Start Ugly, but mine has a post-it note that says Start Ugly, and then a Greek author's name, Chris Kremitzos. and just know that, it's a timeless tale about innovation and change. And just a side note, I was talking about writing this book for like 2 years. Mm-hmm. And then my friend Gabe Aluisi, who's a famous YouTube golf, he tries out golf equipment, one of the top guys in the world. He wrote on April 22nd on Facebook, he said, congrats to Chris Kremitzos, who's releasing his book on August 8th. Let me know if you want an invite to the party. And I wound up seeing all these notifications. And he calls me up and he's like, hey, I hope you don't mind, but I put it out there. I didn't have any deadlines, so he put my ass on the line and said, you better write it because I'm inviting people to the party. Now, interestingly enough, August 8th, I had a draft, but by September 23rd, I had a book. So, and that was a friend that cared enough that got tired of hearing me say, I'm going to write a book. That said, just get it done already, will you?
I love that. And I love you didn't choke him.
he did apologize. I go, what do you apologize? Honestly, that's a mark of a great friend. Cared enough to help get started. So for that, I treasure him for being such a great friend that he put it out there. But we had 20 revisions. Once I had the story down, we kept revising it. Of course, I got feedback from friends. But then there was a launch date. And no matter how ugly the book was, it was getting started. So I'm very fortunate that the book, through the iteration of perfectly executing, came out to be a really cool little gem.
It definitely is. And even though the title is Start Ugly, it is beautiful to me, Chris. It really is.
Thank you, Sandy.
So I will let you go, but I reserve the right to have you back.
let me know. I would love to be back and have we should just have a conversation about whatever topics you and I come up with. I'm down for. But it's really great talking to you, and it's you're a very deep soul. I don't say that lightly. So keep doing what you're doing and keep helping people with their 90-day wins. I think 90 days is a perfect amount of time to try things out.
Thank you. Are you looking for a visual boost to your goal-setting journey? Dive into our 90-Day Wins YouTube channel where inspiration meets action. Watch as we tackle real challenges, celebrate successes, and provide you with the tools and strategies to conquer your goals. From in-depth tutorials to inspiring client stories, our channel is your go-to resource for staying motivated and on track. Don't miss out. Subscribe to 90 Day Wins YouTube channel today and transform your aspirations into achievements. Your next win is just a click away. On the next episode of the 90 Day Wins podcast, we talk goal setting strategies for personal growth success. You don't want to miss this episode, 90 Day Wins podcast.
Get your wins every 90 days. Come get your wins every 90 days. Go get your wins every 90 days. Come get your wins every 90 days.
Go every 90 days, I'm just counting my wins. I know I'm good, but I'm better with them. And I keep a lot of herbal in my chalice, so they're dripping the wind. I feel goosebumps under my skin. I'm feeling better within. I'm feeling better when I'm getting the wins. I'm feeling fresher than a new set of twins. Can't let the devil get in. I'm in the yard with the fuzz in my lens. I'm trying to pull up with the fuzz in the bins with a couple of friends. We on our level and we getting the wins. We running laps and I ain't scuffing my tens. And when you see me, I grin. And every quarter, I be picking the wins. I'm Tom Brady, I be getting the wins. I'm young Kobe, I be getting the wins. I'm young Floyd, I be getting the wins. I'm with my boys and we getting them wins. We outside with the loot and the trim. I'm going out and I'm getting my wins. I'm going out and I'm getting my wins.
Go get your wins. Go get your wins. Go get your wins.